Let's get it going. Final hour before I head out to the second day, the final day, Titans mandatory minicamp. We are so happy that you choose to spend your time from 10 to 1 with us. Lucas is here. He is ready and waiting for your guys to call in with your reaction, your interaction. 615-737-1045 is how you make yourself a part of the show. You're all a part of the show. It's really your show. We're just the ones here facilitating it. Will Compton will join us for his weekly segment live from Barstool Sports headquarters in New York City. We'll keep tabs of what he's been doing, and I've got some actual football questions to ask young William when he makes his appearance. In the meantime, I have a great many things that I want to get to here, because there's Mike Vrabel sound, there's Bud Dupree sound, but then this might, Lucas, supersede it. Have you seen what the hell is happening with the Jacksonville Jags today?
Yes. Many nominated it on Twitter for the dumbest thing in sports this week.
Buddy. So about an hour ago, our friend Michael DiRocco of ESPN, he covers the Jags, down there in Jacksonville. He's tweeting out quotes from offensive coordinator, or rather, excuse me, pass game coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, whom, by the way, some of you wanted as your offensive coordinator, lest we forget. Let me remind you how bad of an idea that would have been. Just because he was the offensive coordinator for Russell Wilson, you guys thought that that was some kind of thing that made him valuable, when in reality, Russell Wilson has been running for his life back there, as he basically said as much on national talk shows all over the place, and then said that he didn't demand a trade. I digress. So Brian Schottenheimer is doing media availability right now with the Jacksonville media. And so DiRocco is tweeting out quotes, one in particular. Jaguars, this is from ESPN DiRocco on Twitter. Jaguars pass game coordinator Brian Schottenheimer said the team hasn't named a starting quarterback yet. Quote, it's still too early to say how this thing's going to play out. Are you bleeping kidding me? Is Gardner Minshew even on the roster in Jacksonville right now? You're joking. You won one damn game last year. One. And you're going to sit there with a straight face, because that was a question that somebody asked DiRocco on Twitter. Mike Wells, the Colts ESPN reporter, tweeted Mike and said, did Schottenheimer say that with a straight face? Mike's response, sure did. Unbelievably. Lucas, if you get a second, actually, Lucas is busy, so I'll look it up. I'm trying to figure out who the Jags' backup quarterback is right now. Because if it's Gardner Minshew, you know what that looks like. You're going to sit there and tell me that the number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, quarterback God amongst man, you've invested this draft capital in him, and you are sitting there and telling me that he is not going to be the starter for the 2020 season. I don't care. I don't care what you're trying to hide in terms of competitive advantage. It does not... You're not fooling anybody. If you trot out there with Gardner Minshew, everybody's seen it at this point. So I'm looking at the Jags depth chart right now on ESPN. Now, remember, these are projections. But ESPN's projected depth chart for the Jags quarterback position, Trevor Lawrence is the starter, Gardner Minshew the second as the backup. Local product, C.J. Beathard is the third string quarterback projected in Jacksonville. If I see that mustached fool, Minshew, out on a football field, and C.J. Beathard's a lovely guy. I've had him on my podcast before. His family went through a considerable amount of tragedy that's probably been a little over a year at this point when they lost his brother. But not to get distracted. Also, Jake Luton, who we have seen on start games. Jake Luton started a game over Gardner Minshew because of how bad Gardner Minshew sucks. And you're going to tell me that Trevor Lawrence, proclaimed first overall pick for the past, since he's been in high school, it's too early to name a quarterback yet. Why do coaches do this?
Tim Tebow. Picturing it. We're in 85, slinging it around.
Liam Neeson. Am I... Is Tim Damn Tebow going to be the starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jags next year?
Yes.
I can't. How? This is like the Houston Texans not having a mandatory minicamp themselves and telling Houston media that they didn't have time to assign all the players jersey numbers, so none of them at the voluntary workouts were wearing jersey numbers.
This is like something that high school programs have trouble with.
Why are the rest of the AFC South so dumb?
Great for the Titans.
Carson Wentz, the broken one, is gonna be the savior of Indianapolis. You got Brian Schottenheimer out here saying it's too soon. It's too soon. It's too early. I'm not ready yet. Man, you better shut the hell up. Chris Mad Dog Russo, where is he? Say that to me. Hey,
shut up. Stay low.
No. Say that to me.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
With a straight face, Brian Schottenheimer, how could you possibly be this thick? People get bent out of shape about Vrabel yesterday. Not necessarily. You know, he's not giving any details on what's going on with Caleb Farley, really, outside of saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he's saying, yeah, it's all been positive within the role that we've asked him to do, which is sit in the Zoom meetings and learn the playbook. Great. Mike Vrabel's never going to give you an injury update on a player, especially right now when there are no injury reports. It's Mike's decision if he wants to do that. At least with medical information and with injury information, I can understand. But this kind of crap, inexplicable to me. Indefensible to me. I want to call so I can mock that laugh, says Buck's Adderall medication. It's not a laugh. That's my fake cry. It made Lucas laugh. I don't know. I'm trying here, all right? I thought that came across well. Apparently Buck's Adderall medication and the comments on Twitch disapproves. Just unbelievably stupid. How am I supposed to transition, Lucas, from incompetence to competence down the street at St. Thomas Sports Park?
Yeah, that might be the dumbest thing in sports this week.
I mean, it by a mile. We just spent
full hour.
Lebowski says, but Andy Dalton, a.k.a. Conan O'Brien, is the starting quarterback in Chicago, according to Matt Nagy, Buck. Yeah.
But even that is a better argument, and it's not a good one. But even to say that is still a competition is a better argument than what they're doing in Jacksonville.
Gardner Minshew, Jake Luton, and C.J. Beathard. Nothing personal against them, but they stink at professional quarterback. You know who doesn't? The dude who just went first overall. Let me not get bent out of shape.
Gardner Minshew didn't have that mustache. Would Jags fans like him?
No, he has a mullet now, too. Listen, he's very, very smart. You want to talk about good marketing?
Oh, yeah.
Gardner Minshew gets the marketing. He gets that angle of it. It's the only reason he's relevant, because it's sure as hell not what he does on the field. Although, you know, their first home game against Jacksonville. That was a week two last year. Just absolutely diced the Titans up.
Yeah, and that was coming off a Jags win against Indianapolis.
Well, yeah, and he had over a 90% completion rate because he's just paper cutting you to death.
And then they proceeded to lose 15 games in a row.
That is correct. One win for the great Gardner Minshew and a little bit of Jake Luton sprinkled all over it. All right, we have Will Compton coming up next, but I want to make sure that we get to this Mike Vrabel sound because I do think this is relevant. So going from incompetent to competent, how a competent team manages disagreements within the facility, within the coaching staff, really. Because this is one of the storylines coming out of just the Titans in general, right? The defense. All about the defense. The defense is a wide-ranging topic. You could go any variety of ways, any manner of approaches, any manner of angles on this defense. One of them in particular, though, is the guy who got a promotion in Shane Bowen, who is now officially the defensive coordinator. The person who was brought in to be a senior defensive assistant, former defensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans, Jim Schwartz. And then there's big dog Mike Vrabel. So we've had this conversation with Mike before about how you manage a defense when there are so many voices? I believe the question was phrased to him, how do you balance the too many cooks in the kitchen approach? Vrabel, I thought, gave a really, really coherent coherence, not the right word, but just a really well thought out answer, because I'm sure they've been thinking about this, because this is the this is something that's going to hover over their heads no matter how far this goes, and really throughout the course of the season. For every time the defense has a miscue, this is going to come up. So Mike Vrabel's response to having too many guys involved in the defense was this yesterday with us via Zoom.
I mean, there's a head coach that, you know, obviously is going to have the final say in everything we do. But that's the same on offense and defense and special teams. That's my job, to make sure that we're doing things that we feel like can help us. And from everything that I've seen, that there's been support there, and Jim's coaching the inside linebackers, and Jim Schwartz is trying to help us throughout the entire defense, and have communication with myself and Shane and the entire staff. And, you know, I think the one thing that everybody has to realize is that there's going to be disagreements, right? Disagreements between John Robinson and myself. And we have conversations about them, and we communicate. And, you know, when you leave a meeting, you have to all be on the same page when you go in and give a message to the players. And that's what's most important, and that's what's critical, and that's what's happened, and that's what will continue to happen.
I think that's a great mindset for Titans fans to have when talking about the defensive coordinating situation, the coaching situation around the defense. Like in any workplace. Lucas, I mean, have we ever had a disagreement, by the way? Surely we've had disagreements. I mean, maybe we haven't worked together long enough. But that would shock me to not have a disagreement with you.
Pretty small, usually small things, like, I mean, who's going to win dumbest thing in sports this week.
Well, that's not a disagreement. That's a conversation. But sometimes it can be the same thing. And I think that's what you have to keep in mind. Vrabel is going to disagree with Schwartz. Schwartz is going to disagree with Bowen. Bowen's going to disagree with Vrabel. And the cycle continues. They're going to create a unified, or at least if they're good at their jobs, which I think largely, you could have the conversation about Bowen. But I would say to you that you can have a conversation, you can have a disagreement, and you can still come out with compromise to create a unified message to deliver to the team. That's what they're tasked with at this point. And largely, it's going to end up being Mike Vrabel's message, because as he said, you know, there is a head coach. We will talk about a great many things having to do with football and the NFL with Will Compton, who is up at Barstool headquarters in New York City, who will join us for his weekly appearance before I head out to St. Thomas Sports Park for the last day of mandatory minicamp. The boy, coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Always by the fine folks at All American Pest Control. Plans starting at just $39 a month. Visit yuckbugs.com. Will's fired up. I got him fired up during the commercial break. He's ready to roll. William, how we living?
The boy, I am living great. Had a trip to New York yesterday, back, worked out this morning. Speaking of working out, how's our guy doing? How's the weight looking? How's the effort looking? I know last week we talked a lot about your effort in the softball game, but give me an update on old Buck Rising.
We had a come to Jesus moment last week. I feel like we hit our pinnacle in this accountability buddy saga that you and I have been continuing. No, we are steady, hovering around 210 pounds. I'm going to get below. The goal is 199 by football season. It is very easily achievable. I went for a run. At 2-mile run, 5:30 this morning. I will not tell you my pace because it was painfully slow. But I went. It's good progress. And I appreciate you for continuing to chirp me on social media to remind me that I need to get my ass out there.
Hang on now. We can't suddenly walk over the fact that you're 210 and you only got 11 pounds to go with over a month left.
What do you mean? It's only 11 pounds is a lot in my world. I sit and talk in front of a microphone all day. That's a lot.
Yeah, but I tell you this much. Being out there at 5:30 a.m., it doesn't matter what pace you're going. Like, being out there at 5:30 before the sun comes up, that fires me up. And the fact, are we going by preseason or are we going by regular season?
I'm going to be, by the time we come back for camp, I better be under 200 pounds. Because they're going to Tampa Bay for training camp with the practices with the Bucks, and I cannot be over 200 pounds and just die in that heat.
I'm with I love the pace, Ron. You're gonna destroy. I think we should move to 195.
195. Well, I wasn't even 195 in high school. You're asking a lot of me right now. Where did he go? Okay, there is Will. We're figuring it out. It looks like, yeah, okay, what happened? I haven't been 195 since high school. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, but bro, we got over a month. You're 210 right now. We're talking 15 pounds, bro.
All right. I will accept that challenge.
I know we should probably go healthy. We should go probably 2 pounds a week. We should go 2 pounds a week. You're right. I don't want to be too hard on you. But just the fact that you're going right now and your effort's picking up, I'm rooting for you.
Okay. 2 pounds a week. We can do that. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys here with us on 104.5 The Zone. I was out at Titans mandatory minicamp yesterday. Will Taylor, your co-host of Bussin' with the Boys, of course. Subscribe, rate, and review. New episode out this morning with the boys sweating their asses off on the bus and a special appearance by Roan. But what I will say to you, Lebowski writes in on the YouTube chat, by the way, time for the tapeworm diet. So apparently I'm coachable. I am coachable. But you cannot push me too far. This is a dangerous game that we're playing. But anyway, so I walk out onto the practice field. I'm looking for who's out there, who's not out there. Taylor is at the facility, I know, but he is not physically out on the practice field itself because he's rehabbing. But he takes time, this teammate of yours, this co-host of yours, to walk out to say, hey, Buck. He's peeking out from the door. You know the door I'm talking about, out onto the media panel.
Yeah.
He's peeking out of the door. He's on the phone with somebody. He goes, hey, Buck. I say, yes, Taylor, how are you? He says, what are you trying out for offensive line this year? And I look at him, I say, I looked at him, you trying out for tight end this year? What? He is so damn skinny. What the hell is happening with him?
He's over 300. I mean, it's created a little stress for our Bussin' because there's a lot of work to be done. Obviously, he's a football player first, but my man has been laser focused with his diet, with his nutrition, with his rehab, with his knee. He is very anal, so anal to the point that he skipped my bachelor party because he was worried about diet and everything else. And doesn't want to be seen like, you know, if we take photos or anything like that, doesn't want to seem like he's slacking or partying or doing anything like that. But my man has laser-like focus with everything going on. And he is. He's in great shape right now, but he is north of 300. I know it looks like a skinny 300+, but it's just a testament to the work the man is putting in right now.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. How do I become a skinny 300+ so I can live my life and also look the way that Look the way that Taylor does.
Well, you're going to be 6'7". Yeah. 6'7" is the first step. I think being very tatted, I think that it makes you look skinnier than you are. You know what I mean? I feel like guys who are very tatted, they're able to hide any type of skin definition. It just makes you look a little more ripped than you are.
Which makes sense because I was thinking, I've never had a tattoo before. I'm thinking about getting my first one, and now we have figured out the source of this. It's like wearing black to look thinner.
Exactly. Yes, you're right.
Will Compton here with us on 104.5 The Zone, presented by All American Pest Control. So to that end, this is the last week before the NFL goes on summer vacation, Will. And I wanted to, we've talked with a handful of guys. We had Tannehill and Saffold, and yesterday Bud Dupree. Now, I don't know if you know Bud at all. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to interact with Bud Dupree at all. But this is only the second time that we as media have gotten to talk to him. And I wanted to play some audio, Lucas, if we could, of Bud Dupree for Will talking about just how accepting basically the responsibility. Well, you were on this defense last year. You understand the struggles that the defense had, specifically the pass rush. But the way that this man, in the same way that you hold me accountable, is holding himself accountable because he understands the burden that's been placed on him. I wonder what you make of this audio from Bud Dupree yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team effort, you know, but I'm a big part of that. You know, pressure bursts pipes or pressure creates a diamond. So, you know, you got to take it at that standpoint. I mean, it's no secret. They got me here for that, to help out with the pass rush. And, you know, I put it on my shoulder and I wear that hat while I'm working out in the offseason, while I'm rehabbing right now, getting my knee right. You know, we all know what it is. And that's just part of the business of this game called football. So, you know, I take it upon myself to make sure that I make an impact, you know, as well as bringing guys up with me, man. You know, the guys who've been here the whole time, as well as, you know, teaching those guys stuff that I learned over the years and learning stuff from those guys that I may not know, you know, doing different pass rush things along with different trainers and stuff, and just bringing that knowledge to them. And also, you know, if they do something with somebody else, just bringing that knowledge together and constantly communicating on how we want to rush and how we want to be the unit. You know, we want to make sure that we define ourselves before the season of what we want to be, and we have a clear vision and a clear goal of what we're working to, and you know, that'll make things better, and then we'll have a path and we'll have milestones to hit, and that's how you build it.
Is there a pressure that comes with the money, or is it all just football?
I mean, to me, man, it comes with, you know, you expect to get paid big your second contract. If you're working hard in your first contract, you expect to hit the second contract and get paid. And with that doesn't mean you have to go out there and change who you are, because that's what got you paid. So, you know, I just got to go out there and continue to produce like I have. And, you know, and the bigger part of that is just not me producing, it's bringing someone else along to produce as well. So, and then once you're doing that, then it's all worth it.
So that's Bud Dupree yesterday with the Titans media. There's a lot there, Will, but I want to start with the part of him accepting the burden of what he's been paid here to come and do. I maybe that's a small thing, but I came away with that, and I saw a lot of interaction from Titans fans on Twitter really fired up about the fact that he's publicly accepting that responsibility. I feel like oftentimes you can see, or it may be their intention, the athletes who are coming in with contracts like that, with an intentional purpose, clearly designed to be the fix to something that's gone wrong. But rarely do we hear them kind of acknowledge that publicly and accept that individual burden.
Yeah, I mean, number one, he sounds like a lunch pail guy. Anybody who comes in and understands, like, you know, yeah, he acknowledging that he got paid, like, that is the deal. You bust your A word to get to a second contract.
You can say ass, it's okay. You relax.
You bust your ass to earn a second contract. You get that. Yeah, with that, I guess, comes a little bit of pressure. But the fact that he's wearing that hat and openly talking about it, I mean, what I liked about the bit is just hearing the clarity going from acknowledging the injury, what he's going through now, being clear on communication, bringing in and talking to guys about what he's learned before, bringing it to talk with guys and either coach them up, see what's already in place, bring it along with the guys that are already there. I mean, he's definitely the type of guy. He's saying all the right stuff for sure. What I want to hit on is the question that was asked. What did he say? Is the pressure getting paid, or is it just football? Who's that guy? We got to talk about that.
You want to talk about him? There's a lot of things we could talk about. My buddy Corey Curtis at News 2. What do you want to start with? Go ahead.
Oh, Corey Curtis. Oh, I love Corey. But that, I did not know that's what he sounded like. I guess in that situation, is the pressure getting paid, or is it just football?
Oh, well, listen, the media makes it, and I love Corey too. He's a friend of mine. The media likes to make these things about themselves. It sounds like, when I ask a question, it sounds like I'm doing the radio show when I'm asking people
questions. Is there a pressure that comes with the money, or is it all just football?
Yeah. Is there pressure that comes with the money, or is it just football?
Very self-serious broadcaster. Very self-serious broadcaster.
Yeah. No, but I'm definitely fired up to see what Bud does. I've heard nothing but good things about him. I've DM'd a couple times with old Bobby Spillane out in Pittsburgh, and he had a lot of good things to say about him. But he seems like a stud, man. I hope he gets his knee right. I know, being obviously boys with Taylor, that it's a very stressful time, a very stressful climb back. So I hope everything is healthy with him. But he sounds like a guy you want in the locker room.
So to that end, because Taylor's a good example of this, especially coming off a knee injury with the expectation to perform. He's been one of the team's Yes. Top three players while he's been here. He's been exceptional at what he does. But to that end, I mean, you've been around a lot of professional athletes, a lot of dudes on second contracts, big money contracts. Can you kind of describe for the audience? I know it's you're describing somebody else's experience, but you've seen it up close and personal probably in several different ways. Can you describe what it's like for those guys, or who you may have been around that you've seen go through something where it does start to weigh on you, where the expectation does start to overwhelm you, understanding that athletes go in with the mindset of, yeah, I can do this, I can conquer this, I can take this, I'm the best at what I'm doing. But it's a lot of pressure that these guys are put under.
Yeah, I mean, you know, experience is the best teacher, and no one can experience having that much money when you go into a second contract. Like, our entire life, man, you live in front of a screen. Everyone tells you what you're good at, what you're not good at, and you try to figure out what you're really good at, right? And when you figure that out and you get to earn another contract, like, you have so many more eyes on you and people telling you if you're doing well or living up to the expectation. At the end of the day, it's all fugazi. It's this label that you have to live up to, this certain being, because you have a bunch of money. Everyone expects the world of you when you get paid, because you've earned that paycheck. And now people want to see even more. Although, like what Bud was alluding to, was, you know, he needs to continue to do what got him there, because that's ultimately how he's reaped those rewards. But trying to live in the mindset, because I've never been the big money guy, right? But you live in the world of social media now, where everyone, you're under all this scrutiny and all this pressure and this microscope all the time. You know, there's this level of wanting to live up to the hype of the potential of how everybody else sees you, on top of how you see yourself as well. When you think you're performing and you want to get a little nosy and see if people are seeing the same thing or eye to eye about it, and then they're not, it's like, you know, it just, you got to pick your poison on wanting to live in that world mentally or not. Everyone's human, dude. Like, when you, Buck, if you were to just get millions of dollars and then you're living on Spotify like everybody seems to be doing these days, there's this pressure of now analyzing or overanalyzing everything you're doing, and not realizing that you just need to continue to do what got you there. But with that, there's going to be new eyes and new audiences that are now looking at you that have no context in where you are, what you came from, what you're about. So you're just going to have a different level of judgment all the time. That's usually how it works. Like us with bussing, you get new audiences, new people listening to you that might think you're just some arrogant pricks that are doing something, because we're all about, oh, for the boys, this, that, and the other, that have zero clue how you started, how you got there. It's the same with you getting on the radio. You get new eyes, new expectations. It's just the world we live in.
You think a bunch of Spotify money would change me? If I get like a Joe Rogan contract, you think I'd be unbearable?
I don't think you would be unbearable. I think you would start wondering, all these new people that are now accessible to you out there in the world, the internet, the media, who want to tear you down because you are actually where they would like to be. And then they now have ways to jab at you when they know nothing about you except that you're now on Spotify. I think you being a human being, you would continue to live in the space of like, you know, I wonder how this is all working out. You start seeing a little bit of hate, then where you're just like, yeah, what is going on here? That's just how it works. That's the, like, the vicious cycle of what goes on. And then it creeps into your brain a little bit of doubt. And just like anybody, dude, it doesn't matter if you make $100 million or, you know, a lower salary, you're still wondering, you still want to be accepted, right? That's just what happens. So I think having mental fortitude, which it sounds like Bud has, you got to create that mental fortitude about yourself, that it's just a fairy tale world that you're now living in. You just got to continue to do what you're doing.
Austin_Nash in the comments on Twitch, if you want to interact or maybe send questions for the boy, you can do so every week on Zone TV. Austin Nash says, the boy is speaking the truth. Some people make millions, some people make memes. Will has done both in his life.
Hey, I love that. Yeah.
You know, you got a little bit of the best of both worlds at that point.
No doubt. But I like, it's all relative, man. I think anytime you can try and take that conversation or that situation and try and paint it for like something going on with you, like where you might be, Buck, like you can wrap your mind around what a guy might be going through. Like, we're all the same, living in this spot, trying to figure it out. He just has to be a hell of a pass rusher, recovering from a knee injury, earning a big bag, as people would say. And now he's going to have a lot of eyes on him because everyone wants him to fix a defense that performed not up to the standard last year. So I respect that he wants to carry that responsibility.
To that same end, he talked about
not carry their responsibility. He doesn't have their responsibility. You know what I'm trying to say.
No, I understand what you're trying to say. It's okay. I still love you, buddy. It's hard being a professional talker, as Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys is learning. Now, you've just returned from Barstool HQ. I want to ask you about that here in just a second. And, of course, the YouTube episode of today's pod, Bussin' with the Boys, comes out tonight. You can see them sweat through their skin because apparently you guys still haven't figured out the air conditioning situation. So subscribe to the boys on YouTube to get the video pod later tonight. To that end, though, Will, he spent a lot of time talking about, you know, making sure that he's not just focused on the responsibility that he himself has been given, but helping to elevate the younger guys as well. Clowney and Beasley were a different situation last year, but for a while, Harold Landry has been like the most veteran presence in that outside linebacking group, which is a difficult, it's a tall task to ask of somebody who's still pretty new in the league, even though he's heading into his fourth season at this point. Dupree, I think there's wisdom there that reminds me of Wesley Woodyard, of Brian Arakpo, of Derek Morgan, guys, veterans who had been in the league for a long time who understand the rigors of this. He's coming into a different situation, a different locker room, but he has emphasized the idea of trying to elevate those around him and help the younger guys. Rashad Weaver is one that he has said he spent time with particularly. How big an impact can that have on a younger player, given that you yourself, an undrafted rookie free agent coming into the league, it's tough to make it. You're figuring out things on the practice squad as well. You're trying to find a way to sustain. How big an impact can those guys have positively, or on the other hand, negatively? Because I feel like it can go both ways.
Oh, brother, it is a huge impact when you have good veteran presence in the locker room. I know when I was a rookie, you come in and your head is just spinning, or you're a young guy and you don't know where to go, right? The head coach, the coaches are all preaching all the stuff, right? That kind of has your ass tight. You don't know, you know, you're just walking down the hall trying to find your way. And when you have vets that have been in a culture and understand a winning culture, like a Bud Dupree, who's been with the Steelers and understand, it always seems like they have a good culture going on over there with Mike Tomlin. But having somebody like that to show you the ropes, and even Harold now, he's going into his, what, fourth year? Having those guys showing you the way and being around a good environment pays dividends, because they're just showing you things that a coach just can't show you or tell you. Like, coaches can play, they can preach it all day long, but the guys who are going through with you and taking you, showing you the ropes, telling you the ins and outs of the league, how it works, hey, keep going this way, coaches being hard on you because of the X, Y, Z, because you stress yourself out so much being in the NFL now, it does wonders for you as a young guy. And it can also be very detrimental when you have guys who don't want to, you know, help you out or bring you along or just kind of leave you on your own. You just live in your own headspace, man. And you can, when you live in your own headspace, you can get in your way, and it can be detrimental because you take everything so hard and you don't have somebody there who's been there that is able to put their arm around you and let you know it's all going to be all right. Here's how it works. And here's how you make it in the league.
I know it's a case by case basis. Everybody is different, but what is the more difficult hurdle to overcome in the NFL, in your opinion? Is it the mental or is it the physical?
I think it's mental. I think, you know, you got your unicorns, right? You got your top 5%, 10%, 1%, whatever the case may be. You got guys who are just, you know, who are just going to be in a league of their own at all times. But the majority of the league, the 90%, everyone plays around the same level. Yes, there's guys who have edges over in other areas, but for the most part, everyone is in a pack, and how you separate yourself, man, is how you can handle this thing mentally, because you're not in college anymore. You don't have that structure where, you know, your student advisor is telling you what class to go to. Your coach is telling you when to show up, how to show up. Here's how we do it. Here's how you fall in line. You're a freshman. You're a sophomore. Yeah, here's your dorm room. Here's where you eat. You don't have that anymore, man. And when you're in the league, you got to figure out how to be a grown-ass adult. And so – I think the mental side is what separates you, because you live in a world where everything's under a microscope. There's that much more pressure. And if you, again, I said mental fortitude earlier, but if you don't have that, those are the things, the mental side of it, the mental game, the mental approach to all of it. That is kind of what separates guys and keeps guys in the league, because when you fold and you're mentally weak and you just can't take it and you need your hand held a little bit more, when you're a lower round draft pick or when you're on that end of the spectrum, you're not going to last long.
Is Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys. New episode out this morning. Go subscribe, rate, review, check out the podcast. It's a great time. And the YouTube, which will debut tonight at 6 p.m. Central Time. William, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate your time. Go enjoy the rest of your day, because you've already had a 6 a.m. flight, a workout, and I'm certain that there is more content to be produced.
For sure, and also brought to you by All American Pest Control. I can't wait to get that stuff set up in my house.
Oh, look at you. You're such a gem. He's a pro at this point. Will Compton, get the hell off my seat.
See you, boss.
See you, buddy. Okay, we will come back. We will wrap up the show. We will do some poll questions, because it is time, well, it is almost time, for me to head out to Titans Mandatory Minicamp to do some reporting for you all, to relay to you the sights, the sounds, the scenes of these Tennessee Titans. All that and more coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Okay, Let us put a bow on this Wednesday before I head out to St. Thomas Sports Park for the last time for a while. The last time we will see the players, the last time we will see the coaches for some time. The NFL getting ready to go on vacation. And before they return for training camp, we'll be that much closer to football. Just a little bit of a summer break in between. What I'll say, and we'll spend more time on this tomorrow after I've been able to observe this final day of minicamp more sincerely. But I want to kind of get into a little bit of a post-mortem, for lack of a better term, on the Titans offseason. Because I think this one has been really, really interesting in retrospect, given all of the things that have transpired as we work our way back to normalcy. It'll be an interesting conversation, and we hope you'll join us for that then. But in the meantime, let's do some polls.
I don't know who you are, but I know what it's time for. A poll update on the Buck Rising Show. Here's a young man with a very particular set of skills. With the final numbers, here's Buck Rising Show correspondent and producer, Lucas Panzica.
What is the dumbest thing in sports this week? Billy Murphy says people thinking Derrick Henry got snubbed for Madden cover when Brady just won his seventh ring and gets to have fun now that he's in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, we'll know who's on the Madden cover by the time the show starts tomorrow. That's supposed to be announced. Well, J-Mart and Ramon are on the air at 9 a.m. Central Time, so they'll get first crack at it, Schaaf as well. And then we'll be able to determine whether or not Tom Brady has yet again pulled the wool all over our eyes with trolling on the internet with these pictures of Mahomes and him at a high school practice field and the baby goats in the barn that EA put out as a part of the Madden teaser. I don't think it's going to be Henry. I think it should be Henry. I think it's smart marketing to make it Henry. Am I going to be bent out of shape about it if it's not Henry when we start the show tomorrow? No.
Is it smart marketing to make it Henry for Madden?
Hell yeah.
Or is it smarter marketing to make it Brady or Mahomes for Madden?
I don't think it matters. Like, if we were selling, like, straight-up hardcovers of video games that people collect, and maybe people are still doing that, so I can't completely discount it. And maybe they're making, like, NFTs, like, that they're selling NFTs digitally with Madden covers. But, yeah, if you're going to take advantage of a spectacular feat, one of only 8 people in the history of the sport that have rushed for 2,000 yards, and he happens to be 22 in the year of Madden NFL 22. Yeah, I think it's good marketing.
Yeah, we've probably already talked too much about it. I agree. I don't think people really care about the cover that much anymore.
You brought it up.
John says the fact that MLB keeps changing or enforcing the rules to try to bring fans in. It's like, just take it back to basics. We see people are still interested in the sport. Just look at the NCAA playoffs starting this week.
I'm conflicted about baseball because there's all kinds of scandal going on in baseball right now. Lucas, we haven't touched it at all with the spider tack and the adhesives that people are using, suntan lotion, rosin, all manner of goop to improve control on the pitching that has made the sport damn near unwatchable because people don't score, people don't hit. There's a lot of dumb things happening in baseball. Just this Rob Manfred just appears to be generally dumb, bad at his job.
Are Nashville drivers the 14th best in the country? 72% say no, but 28% say no.
Yeah, they're bad. By consensus, we can all agree. 14, like I said earlier in the show, if Nashville has the 14th best drivers, the rest of the country is a hellscape.
Who are you most excited for the Titans to get back? Taylor Lewan, A.J. Brown, or Bud Dupree? Pretty even across the board here. 36% say Bud Dupree. 32% each for Lewan and Brown.
Ooh, that's pretty good parity. You haven't seen Bud Dupree yet. That's the biggest issue on your roster. You want to see how close he is or how much he's going to be able to correct it, even though you're not going to be able to tell until he gets actually on a football field. But that would be my answer, too, because I liked what I heard from him yesterday. And if you missed any of that conversation that we had around Bud Dupree, it's the Buck Rising Show in your favorite podcast app.
Did you watch Kevin Durant's performance last night? Yes or no? 66% say no.
Yeah, I mean, this is the constant struggle. I want to talk about the NBA. Nobody in Nashville watches the NBA, and so we'll continue to. All I'll tell you is that the Bucks could have done a better job defending him, but it was really, really, really a great performance.
What's more difficult for professional athletes, mental or physical health? 68% say mental.
We had a good conversation with this or about this with Will Compton, and something that I think people take for granted: how much of the game taxes you mentally as opposed to physically, the wear and tear on your body. But without question, I think for me, at least, having not been a professional athlete, it's mental. And those are the polls for the day. So we will continue the conversation about Titans. Mandatory minicamp will put a bow on their offseason. We'll do all of that and more tomorrow when Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Tennessee Titans, joins us before he gets the hell out of here on vacation, before everybody takes some much-needed time. That'll be a lot of fun. We look forward to having you as a part of the proceedings. And we will be out on remote, by the way. I'm leaving Lucas behind. I'll be out at Care Supply Co., we'll be talking some NASCAR, too, as well. Look forward to that conversation because, of course, Nashville Speedway back in full effect this weekend. Enjoy Blaine and Mickey. I'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll see you then.